Hey, buddy.
What?
So I know the piece of news that you're most excited about this week.
Do you?
Yes.
What is it?
The establishment of the Smurfsverse. Welcome to Geekology 101. My name is Diego.
And my name is Joshua.
And if you're new to the show, welcome to Geeky Conversations between the Father and Son,
where we break geekdom down to a science.
Today, we've got an episode all full of news and reviews.
All of them newses and reviews.
There's a lot of newses this week.
And a lot of reviewses.
And a lot of reviewses, yes. Mostly the review of Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett, season finale. We're going to talk about the entire thing kind of as a whole now that we have from beginning to end.
Yes.
We're going to give our reaction to some trailers. But before that, we're going to get into the news. So cue that up. Assassin's Creed, man.
Assassin's Creed.
We both love Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
And we have both played the last, what is it, two games that have
yes,
come out.
And I actually started playing the second game.
Oh, yes, you did. That's right. I got you the
Ezio Collection.
The Ezio Collection. And are you still in Assassin's Creed 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What have you thought about that game so far?
It's dope.
Pretty great, huh?
I feel like all of the Assassin's Creed games should be like that, because the newer Assassin's Creed games, they just don't feel Assassin's Creed to me.
Exactly. And that actually leads into our first piece of news, which is that the next game in the Assassin's Creed series, it's set to come out during the first 2 months of 2023. It's already been in development. And one thing that I really like about what they've revealed so far, which is not a lot, but they've revealed that this next game is going to be smaller in scope than the last three games. So we haven't played Assassin's Creed Origins, the one that takes place in Egypt, in ancient Egypt. But we did play Odyssey and Valhalla. And I don't know about you, but I felt that whole, like, gigantic scope thing of the game. Like, enough so that I haven't finished either one of the games. Like, and you know me, I like side mission stuff. Like, I like completing all the little side tasks to the point that it annoys you. But it's too much even for me.
In Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you can go to, like, Kefalonia, you can go to Greece, you can go to Phokis.
What now?
Huh?
You like saying that word, don't you?
No.
You little punk. No. Yeah, I know you. I know you. But no, seriously, it really is, like, it's too much. And since I played Assassin's Creed 1, 2, 3, Brotherhood, and, like, several others, like, those games are a little bit more focused, a little bit more targeted. And there's more attention paid to, like, the main story. These newer games, like, my God, they are
They basically are, the game is a side mission, basically.
Yeah, oh, man, it's a little bit too much. And it seems like Ubisoft has been listening to those cries of
anger and
boredom.
Pain.
And so what they're doing is that this next game, and hopefully the games afterwards, are going to be less bloated. They're not going to have that much exploration-based, like, open-world content. That hopefully means that we're getting a little bit more back to form. The other thing that I didn't really particularly like about these newer Assassin's Creed games is that if you played the original game, the first few games, you saw how the Brotherhood was rebuilt thanks to Ezio Auditore, and I felt like I wanted to play more within that world of, like, an established Assassin's Brotherhood, you know. But instead you keep on getting these stories with, like, Odyssey and Valhalla, where it's like these people that have nothing to do with the Brotherhood suddenly get drafted into being an assassin out of nowhere, like super quick, like mega quick training and stuff. And that to me felt a little bit too rushed. And, like, it just broke with the form. And so it's been said that this new game is going to have as its protagonist this guy called Basim Ibn Ishaq, who is a character that was in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I haven't come across it because I really...
Oh, I think I know who that is, actually.
Do you?
I think Basim... Oh, yeah, Basim... I'm pretty sure Basim is, like, I don't know if you got this far into the game, mm-hmm. but if you have, do you remember the two assassins who gave Ivor the hidden blade?
No, I don't think I've gotten to the point of getting a hidden blade yet.
Okay, well, I mean, you do get the hidden blade, like, surprisingly faster than in any other game.
Okay.
But, I'm pretty sure Basim mm-hmm. is the younger assassin, and, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Basim is one of the assassins that gave Ivor the hidden blade.
Who was already, like, an established Brotherhood assassin.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Well, apparently he's going to be the main character. They did say that he was, like, an actual established assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's supposed to be that this game really is more, like, stealth-focused than the other games that have come right before it.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's going to be taking place in the city of Baghdad.
Baghdad.
Which I think is great. Because that means, you know, different architecture, new architecture that we haven't really seen before. And that's one of the cool things about the Assassin's Creed games, that it puts you into these new cities and then you make the city your playground.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really, really cool to kind of get back to a smaller scope and to more of a Assassin Brotherhood type of scenario. And I just feel like I've lost that in the last few games. So it should be fun.
Yeah.
Next piece of news. So there's been a lot of talks about who could be the MCU's official Ghost Rider.
Because
mm-hmm. we've had a kind of like a canon adjacent Ghost Rider in the form of Robbie Reyes from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
And like,
which I think he's cool. I think he's one of the coolest things to come out of that, yeah. that
and
series.
Like, we've seen that like stuff that is in the MCU kind of affects that. So like, it's like semi-canon.
Sort of.
And so like Robbie
Reyes.
Now I
think it's probably more like multiverse canon.
Yeah.
You know? That's probably what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is now. But yeah, we have been waiting to see when Ghost Rider was going to be introduced into the MCU, right? And now that the Marvel is starting to make real moves towards a darker side of the MCU,
mm-hmm.
With shows like Moon Knight, which looks awesome,
mm-hmm.
With the introduction or the announcement of Mahershala Ali playing Blade,
mm-hmm.
Black Knight being introduced, at least in his human form, in the Eternals movie.
Yeah.
And in the after credit scene, Mahershala Ali's voice being heard as Blade.
And
talking
then,
to him
yeah,
about, are you sure you want to do that, whatever?
And then we have, like, Dane Whitman.
Dane Whitman, yeah.
Yeah, and then we have, like, Morbius. I feel like this is definitely leading to, like...
Mind you, Morbius, I don't know if it takes place in the same universe or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I think this is leading to a Midnight Suns team up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Ghost Rider is a pretty cool part of that. A lot of fans have wanted Keanu Reeves to play Ghost Rider in the MCU for some reason. Yeah, I don't know what the obsession is with Keanu Reeves playing this guy.
Slow motion gun guy playing Ghost Rider.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I don't see him as like a Johnny Blaze, and obviously not as a Robbie Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see him as Johnny Blaze. I don't know. I just don't.
This new actor that is rumored,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't fit Ghost Rider.
Okay, hear me out here. So there's been rumors now for a bit that Norman Reedus may be in talks to play. I'm assuming to play Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider.
He just doesn't look the part to me. He just doesn't look like he would be good.
Look. Okay, but hear me out. Look. Here's why I think he'd be good. Number one, this guy's really good at playing a badass,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's most famous for playing Daryl in the Walking Dead series.
He's also the main character of a game.
Oh yeah.
Anyways.
Is that Daylight or Die by Daylight or something?
No.
I know which one you mean. That game it catches my attention. Specifically because it's him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's a guy who lives and breathes this whole motorcycle culture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like in real life.
Right? Really?
In the Walking Dead show, he plays his character like is always about motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yes, he's become known for that. But in real life, this guy has like a self-produced reality show where just like camera follows him around wherever
Death Stranding.
He goes.
That's huh? the game that he's
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there you
Death
go.
Stranding. Mm-hmm. And he looks like exactly like him in that
exactly
game.
Exactly like him, yeah. He really is all about that hit the road on the motorcycle lifestyle, like in real life.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, I feel like he would embody a new version of Johnny Blaze that we kind of need, man. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, the only thing we got so far is Nicolas Cage, Johnny Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, what do you feel? You, for some reason, like, have watched the two Ghost Rider movies a surprising amount of times. Yeah, there was a moment when you were really, like, obsessed with Ghost Rider.
I feel like that's because, like, I didn't watch it that many times.
You watched Spirit of Vengeance at least a few times, man.
Not Spirit of Vengeance.
Yes, you... Oh, no. The first movie.
Yeah.
You were watching a bunch of clips from Spirit of Vengeance, I think it was.
And then I watched the full Spirit of Vengeance movie.
I think, if anything, like, I'm not even going to say that Ghost Rider version didn't have personality, because he did, but it was Nicolas Cage personality, especially the second one. Oh my God, Spirit of Vengeance. Like, he went all Nick Cage on that thing.
I don't get Ghost Rider in Spirit of Vengeance. Why? Like, he would just, like, break down and do some random, like, dance. Like, seriously, there was just one scene when he was, like, walking up to a couple criminals, and then he was like, "Billie Jean is not my lover."
Yeah, well, so again, to my point, like, I feel like we need somebody to breathe new life into the character, and somebody like Norman Reedus could do a really good job of that, because Norman Reedus has, like, naturally, he has, like, this brooding type of, like, you know, dark personality to him in a lot of his roles.
I wonder what his Spirit of Vengeance would look like.
Who knows?
I mean, couldn't look that different than, like, all the rest of the Ghost Riders.
It can't, no. Also, I think that Norman Reedus, he rocks the whole leather thing a lot better than most people. Like, Nicolas Cage, the leather was kind of forced on him.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't look really natural. I feel like if you take Norman Reedus' overall image that people have of him on a motorcycle with a little bit of leather on, like a leather vest or something, and you Ghost Rider that thing up, Spirit of Vengeance it up, I feel like that could be already, like, a very new, fresh take on Ghost Rider. And he's an actor who could give a different kind of soulfulness to the character, like a different sorrow to the character without being all exaggerated like Nick Cage.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been thrown around in the interwebs. And people have, like, tweeted at Kevin Feige, like, "Yo, make this man freaking Ghost Rider in the MCU." And then he's gone and he's favorited all those tweets.
Yeah.
So he's very open to that idea. He's completely open to the thought of playing Ghost Rider. He's even said...
Norman Reedus is open to that idea?
Oh, yeah, for sure he is.
Oh.
He told comicbook.com, "Fingers crossed, I don't know. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years. I do not have an answer for you."
Mm-hmm.
So...
that's basically saying yes.
It's basically, yeah. It's not, if he's already said there's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years,
basically saying yeah. I mean, if we have learned anything, spoiler alert, from Spider-Man No Way Home, when someone says no, when an actor says, "I'm not playing a character," that means I'm playing a character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I have the feeling that Ghost Rider is going to be another one of those characters that's going to be introduced out of nowhere, like dropped in an after credit scene. It could happen in Multiverse of Madness, for example. It could be dropped, like, maybe during the events of Moon Knight. Like, who knows? The point is, there's so many places that you could do this now, right? Because of these Disney Plus shows introduce new characters.
I feel like he could be introduced in, like, a Moon Knight episode. Or, like, in an after-credit scene of a Moon Knight episode, where we see, like, Moon Knight, like, looking for criminals.
Right.
And then
they cross paths.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's hop over to the Sony Marvel side of the world and talk about one of the projects within the Spider-Verse, I guess. I don't know what to call it anymore. Sony Spider-Verse, whatever.
Sponyverse.
Clearly, what Sony is doing is building
a Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that became very clear after Far From Home. Mm-hmm. No Way Home. So, Dakota Johnson is set to star in Madam Web. Do you know who Madame Web is, son?
I absolutely do not.
So for those of us who grew up in the 90s watching that classic Spider-Man cartoon, Madame Web showed up a bunch of times there.
Is it Madame Web or Madame Web?
Madame Web.
Okay.
Very different from what Dakota Johnson looks like. Dakota Johnson is still a very young actress, but Madame Web was always presented as like this older woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like disabled. She couldn't walk. And she was in a wheelchair or like, and even connected to like this weird life support system. And she was supposed to be a mutant who discovered the ability to, like, I guess, move throughout dimensions. And so she showed up in Peter Parker's life when he started having some, like, multiversal adventures, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But we never really got any backstory on her.
There's going to be a movie for Madame Web?
There's going to be a whole movie just for this character. Like, Sony, you can see how Sony's, like, really milking these Spider-Man characters, because those are the characters that they have the rights to.
Kraven the Hunter, now yeah. Madame Web.
And Morbius and Venom. Like, they're giving all these individual supporting characters or villains basically their own films. There were talks of, like, a Black Cat movie. There were talks of a Silver Sable movie.
Silver Sable? Oh, wait, from the Spider-Man world,
yeah. So, like, they're really taking these characters and, like, fleshing them out into more, I guess, more complex characters to be able to create movies around them. And then, of course, they're going to start intertwining, you know, little by little. They're going to start crossing over. But this one is honestly one of the more surprising ones. Like, they're going to have to dig real deep and, like, create a pretty interesting story to, like, have her be, like, carry her own movie. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, I think that it's pretty clear, once again, that what Sony is doing is heading towards a straight-up Spider-Verse that they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, they could absolutely introduce this character and maybe show us her younger years as she's discovering her dimensional or multiversal abilities as a mutant, maybe. And then use her to tie together all of the other characters,
mm-hmm.
right? Like introduce a Spider-Gwen, introduce Miles Morales, we've got different Spider-Men going on out there. You know, bring in Kraven the Hunter, whatever. Like, maybe these people exist in various universes of some sort, and, like, she's going to be the one to create unity between them.
Mm.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that is a dope thing. Like, I feel like if this one character
mm-hmm.
that, like, no one really, like, cares about that much.
Yeah.
If she is, like, the one to bring together this whole Spider-Verse, I feel like that'll be pretty interesting.
I think so. She could be kind of like the Nick Fury of the, of the Spider-Verse.
Is she a villain?
No. She's kind of neutral.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think she has, like, a leaning towards being... She's definitely not a villain, but I don't think she has, like, you know, like, the Oracle in the Matrix?
Mm.
Which she doesn't necessarily, like, do stuff to defeat bad guys,
mm.
but she's just kind of there to provide information.
Yeah.
That's kind of how she is, at least in those Spider-Man cartoons. I'm sure that they're going to start releasing, like, well, I don't know, actually, since it's Sony side of things. But they could start releasing comics, like, you know, giving more information and introducing her character more.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to see. We'll see what happens with that. On to another Sony project, Kraven the Hunter. So it's that's been kind of in the works for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Kraven the Hunter
I don't know why.
Well, again, Sony's got to make that money. And they're feeling really, really bold about it after Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
I feel like the name of the movie is now like a jab at Marvel. Because they're like,
what is?
Sorry, guy. Spider-Man ain't going home anytime soon.
Oh.
You know?
What? Well, we did see Kraven the Hunter. That's so sad.
Oh, yeah. We saw him in that multiverse people arriving thing.
I mean, there's no way that was not Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, that was
like, he literally had, like, a fur coat,
mm-hmm.
like, down to his legs. I'm pretty sure he wasn't wearing a shirt or pants.
Yeah.
He had underwear, a spear. That's Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah. So Kraven the Hunter has been in production. Aaron Taylor Johnson, who played Quicksilver, I mean, Yeah.
Yeah.
In Quicksilver in Age of Ultron.
Oh.
Or to be more precise, Pietro in mm-hmm. Age of Ultron, Wanda's brother. He's going to now play Kraven the Hunter. I'm assuming he's going to look extremely different. Kraven the Hunter has like a full beard and stuff and like dark hair. So I'm guessing it'll be different enough.
Oh, him?
Yeah, dude.
Kraven the Hunter?
Yeah, man. Where you been? I'm sorry. Did you check out for the last 2 minutes?
No.
you don't agree with this?
That's illegal in 22 states.
Yeah, man. He's playing Kraven the Hunter. That's what it is, man. He signed in actually for a multi-picture deal. Aaron Taylor Johnson. So this is happening. We're gonna get
him as Kraven the Hunter.
No. Hey, man.
I picked Kraven the Hunter.
I think he can pull it off, though.
I think Kraven the Hunter would be bigger.
We haven't really seen this guy at his biggest.
Like, ooh.
Yeah. We haven't seen this guy, like, because he didn't need to for Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm.
Quicksilver is a pretty, like, lean kind of guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Flash in live action.
Yeah.
But for this guy, he's going to need to bulk up.
Because
mm-hmm. Kraven the Hunter is big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Russell Crowe has joined that film. To play somebody. We don't know yet. Like, the details are being kept under wraps. But here's what we know about Kraven the Hunter. So, this movie is being directed by J.C. Shandor.
Mm-hmm.
He is known for films like All Is Lost, The Most Violent Year, Triple Frontier, which is like a Netflix movie. He's worked with some pretty good actors, this guy has. But yeah. None of those films would really be the kind of movies that you would think, like, oh yeah, that guy's great for a Marvel-type movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll have to wait and see, you know, what job he does directing. He's going to be putting a screenplay into action by Art Markham and Matt Holloway and Richard Wenk.
I feel like this is just, like, random, but I feel like Disney has enough money to buy Spider-Man back from Sony.
It's not about buying, no. There's a contract in place.
Oh.
They can't just break that contract.
Oh, actually.
Now, if Sony is bought by Disney, sure.
Which
Disney would have the money, but I guess that's not something they want to do.
Disney making PlayStation games?
Oh,
Disney
snap.
Making the new PlayStation
console? No, but they wouldn't do that. They would sell Sony Studios, but everything else Sony would be separate.
Gosh,
Sony's an empire, dude. Sony's like an electronics empire. It's not just going to sell all of its company out.
Gosh.
Yeah, sorry, guy. Avi Arad is going to be producing. Avi Arad, of course, has been making Spider-Man related things since the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, Avi Arad.
Now, Kraven the Hunter, the character made his comic book debut in 1964's Amazing Spider-Man number 15. It's a character created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, let's talk in a minute about how you made Stan Lee president.
That is, yeah, I did.
We'll talk about that in a minute. He's a Russian big game hunter. So this guy became famous around the world for, like, hunting the biggest, most dangerous prey.
Mm.
And then he basically becomes obsessed with Spider-Man because he considers Spider-Man to be
the biggest prey.
Yeah, like the biggest target he could ever have. And there's a long, long history in the comics between
because
these two
no
characters.
One likes spiders, eh?
That's a little more than that, guy. Just saying. But yeah, so in the Ultimate Comics, which I talk a lot about of because, you know, I read the heck out of those.
Mm-hmm.
In the Ultimate Comics, they introduced Kraven the Hunter as a reality star.
A reality
really? Show star, yeah. Like he has, and mind you, these comics were written like back when reality shows were just becoming a thing. But they've become even bigger now. But he had a reality TV show where he would like take the cameras of his show into every one of his hunts.
Mm.
And he would, like, you know, show his strategy and all that for how he was going to attack the prey and how he was going to trick
Grylls.
The prey. Yeah. Kind of those, for real. Kind of like a Bear Grylls, but for, like, hunting.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if they might tap into that. Because that would be pretty relevant to nowadays, you know?
Hmm. I feel like it would be kind of weird if, day number 22 of trying to track down Spider-Man and trying to murder a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
Well, think about this. Look, you can make a really interesting character around that whole concept, right?
Oh, maybe like, he if could he becomes be like...
world known and like social media knows about him. He's on TikTok. He's everywhere because everybody knows, like, yo, have you seen like Kraven's latest hunt?
Mm.
And then he has, you could give him his own drama in this origin movie. You could give him his own drama, his own villain and everything. And then by the end of the movie, he makes his decision. Like, you know, he announces to the world, like, I've chosen my next target.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man. Oh, come on, bro. That's pretty sick.
But, like...
Come on.
People like Spider-Man.
Yeah, but...
Actually, not anymore.
People like drama more than they like Spider-Man.
That is incredibly true.
That is very true.
But, like, what happens, like... This is just, like, a theoretical.
Okay.
What happens if, like... Obviously, this would not happen.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if Kraven were to kill Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
how would they react?
I read the comic, The Last Hunt, where he kills Spider-Man in the comics.
He killed Spider-Man in the comics?
Yeah, and then he assumed Spider-Man's identity.
Did he wear a Spider-Man outfit?
He did wear a Spider-Man outfit. He did.
I need to...
Yeah. Anyway, but that is going to happen. Kraven the Hunter, Russell Crowe joined the crew. We'll have to wait and see how it happens. But like we mentioned before, Sony is feeling really emboldened by how well Spider-Man Far From Home is doing. We've been kind of like tracking the numbers in every other episode. Domestically, the movie's already passed $753 million. Internationally, it's made over $1 billion. That brings it to a total worldwide of like almost $1.8 billion.
Jesus.
It's still, domestically, is still the highest grossing movie. It's the highest grossing movie of 2022, and it came out in 2021. Like, it's... it's making more money than all the movies that have come out so far in 2022.
What movie would have been more than that?
Yeah, I don't know. You would expect a movie to have made most of its money or to, like, still be making a little bit of money, but not, like, surpassing brand new releases in the new year. But there it is. And the next piece of news actually is related to this. One of the things that, of course, we got in that movie. I'm not even going to give a spoiler alert because if you haven't seen this movie yet, what are you doing? Charlie Cox was, of course, reintroduced to us as Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
or Matt Murdock, to be more exact. In Spider-Man Far No Way Home. He recently gave an interview where he chatted a little bit about what the experience was like. Now that, like, people like he and Andrew Garfield, who were, like, I think the two people that were getting, like, the most bombarded mm-hmm. with questions about whether they were in this movie or not, now that they can speak freely. So he was in the interview, he revealed that he got the call from Feige on June of 2020.
Really? 2020?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Feige, like, told him, like, hey, would you be interested in this? You know, we wanted to gauge first before we even made plans to see if you'd be interested at all in the idea. And he was like, yeah, of course I'm interested. Then he didn't hear from him for months. And he started, like, wondering to himself, like, did I make this up? Was this a hoax? You know, like, what was this? He said, it was a pretty surreal moment. I'm not going to lie. Bear in mind that it's been a few years, and I was pretty convinced it was over. Kevin said, we've got some ideas, but I wanted to make sure that you in principle are interested. And I was like, I'm very interested. And then I didn't hear anything from anybody for 2 months. And I got to the point where I wondered if I dreamt it. But sure enough, he eventually got the call. Mm-hmm. And they snuck him into set with like a cloak over him.
Really?
Yeah, because they wanted to keep it like really under wraps.
Like, I feel like people, like set people,
yeah.
would have been like, that is absolutely Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. And he said, I played the character almost every day for 4 years in mm-hmm. the series, he means. I feel like his essence is deep within me now. I didn't worry too much about it, but it was still pretty nervous. I was still pretty nervous on the day, which I haven't been for a while. So he got them jitters as he was like, you know, actually filming that scene in the Parker home and all that.
Mm-hmm.
John Watts, the director of the movie, he said about this, I have built in this moment where we reveal you. This is what he told Charlie Cox. And no one speaks for a few beats because the audience will have a big reaction. Then Charlie says, I was a bit embarrassed. Like, are you sure? I was going with the flow, but thinking, I hope it's not a letdown. But then I got a lot of texts from friends who were at the premiere and saw it opening weekend, who told me there was a cool vocal reaction when that scene came on. It's a strange feeling, but I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. And we saw that. Like, mm-hmm. the audience popped when they showed Charlie Cox on screen. Yeah. That was really cool. And I was kind of wondering about that because I didn't know how many people, like, in general audiences would know about him as Daredevil.
Yeah.
But I guess a lot of people do. You know, he actually revealed in this interview that there was a little Easter egg that they filmed with Jon Favreau, because Jon Favreau was actually the guy who played Foggy Nelson, his partner in law and his best friend, back in the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck.
Foggy Nelson.
Yeah. He played Matt Murdock's partner and best friend. You never seen him? Jon Favreau playing that role? Anyway, so yeah, so he plays Matt Murdock's best friend. And they were going to do they filmed a little Easter egg that I guess they didn't make it into the movie, where Matt Murdock in Spider-Man No Way Home was going to ask a question to Happy Hogan. Mm-hmm. And he was going to answer like, yeah, I'm a little foggy on how that happened.
Oh.
Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it didn't make it on. And so anyway, he was asked about the future of Matt Murdock and Daredevil in the MCU. And he said, look, I don't have any idea what anyone's plans are at this stage, but I presume there's more for us to do. I know a little bit, not a huge amount, but a little bit. I am imagining, I am hoping that our worlds will collide again, because the stuff we've done in the past was tremendous fun to do. Now he's talking about playing opposite of Kingpin. Mm-hmm. Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin. And he's such an incredible actor. We have to start every conversation we have with, what do you know? Because you have to be careful. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So, like, clearly, like, these actors are excited about being like, officially part of the MCU.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really cool to see, like, where they pop up next. Mm-hmm. Something interesting is that Netflix just announced that all the Marvel shows, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, The Defenders, are leaving Netflix for good. Is that even that they're going to be archived and brought back at some point? Like, no, they're leaving Netflix.
Then where are they going to go?
Exactly. Now, Disney? The reason why they're leaving is because there's a in the contracts for creating these shows and these Marvel licensed shows, the rights revert back to Disney, or to Marvel, owned by Disney, of course.
Yeah.
After a certain amount of time. Oh. And that time has come. So now the license is reverting back to these shows to Marvel. You got to wonder, is there a possibility that they're going to move them over to Disney Plus? These are pretty graphic shows. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a lot of blood. They got a lot of violence. Like, these are real dark shows.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, there was that one scene in the Moon Knight trailer where Moon Knight was, like, beating the absolute life out of a demon.
And in a very recent interview, Kevin Feige described the Moon Knight show as brutal. And I don't think that's a word that Kevin Feige would just toss around like that for no reason.
I mean, like, when Kevin Feige says the word brutal, you know that, like, it's gonna be, like, Daredevil, Punisher, like, Defenders-esque.
It could be. Look, Disney Plus as a streaming platform is still figuring itself out. Disney Plus has, like, a whole mix of content on there. Like, everything from, like, what? The cartoon Disney movies, you know? Like, the classic Lion King, Beauty and the Beast type of movies. All the way to The Mandalorian slicing a dude in half in one of the latest episodes of the Boba Fett.
All the way to a tiny miniature version of Yoda picking a lightsaber and a chainmail shirt, and then he picks both of them and absolutely kills Luke Skywalker with the lightsaber.
Only happened in your dreams.
Okay.
In your twisted dark imagination. That happened there. That did not happen in the Book of Boba Fett. But no, seriously, there's a weird mix, right, of, like, pretty adult stuff. Like, Eternals had a love scene, you know? And Eternals is on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So, how far is Disney willing to push the envelope of violence and graphics, you know, graphic content on Disney Plus? That is a really, really good question. I think that Moon Knight is going to be probably one of the biggest tests of that, because it really does seem like there's going to be a good amount of violence in that show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we literally saw a guy in the Moon Knight trailer mm-hmm. who got shot in the head. Like, and it wasn't, like, blurred out or anything. Mm. Literally a guy who got, like, shot in the head, and then he was about to fall onto the ground out of a moving vehicle, and it was about to get run over by two other cars.
Really? Oh, yeah. The back of the vehicle, like, shot
and then,
from
and,
the back.
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. Moon Knight was about to, like, he was, like, dropping his gun in, like, horror that he shot a guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, right? If Moon Knight really does push the envelope and it stays on Disney Plus, and that means that Disney's really willing to embrace something that's a lot darker and violent. Mm. And in reality, like, all they need to do is put some kind of warning at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Netflix does. Netflix announces before the thing begins. It lets you know, oh, this is mature content, whatever. It gives warnings, you know, for people to not get triggered and whatnot. So who knows? Maybe Disney Plus is going to go darker, and it'll get to a point where they're going to be willing to include the Netflix shows into it. And then at that point, they're kind of canon, mm-hmm. you know, if they do come on board, or at least they have the ability to make them fully canon.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to a different world, the Star Wars side of things. Obi-Wan Kenobi has been announced to be debuting on May 25th.
So, of this year?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's going to be pretty cool. The Obi-Wan Kenobi series is going to be set 10 years after the events of Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
Okay,
so 10 years. Think about that, right? Revenge of the Sith. That's
Anakin
Darth Vader
would still be pretty young.
Comes to life. Yeah, Anakin would still be pretty young. That's
I
right.
mean, how old was he at the end of Revenge of the Sith?
He must have been in his 20s.
Yeah, like early 20s.
So I would imagine that Darth Vader would then early be like 30s. In his 30s, yeah. So Hayden Christensen is supposed to return to play Darth Vader in that show.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the cast includes people like Moses Ingram, Joel Edgerton, Bonnie Pies, Kumail Nanjiani, right? Fresh mm-hmm. off of Marvel's Eternals. Indira Varma, Rupert Friend, O'Shea Jackson Jr., who was Ice Cube's son.
Sung Kang.
Yeah. Ice Cube, man. The rapper.
Who's? I don't know.
Well, you need to educate yourself on gangster rap from the 1980s and 90s, son. Have I not raised you well enough? Jesus. Simone Kessel and Benny Safdie. So McGregor, Ewan McGregor, the guy who plays Obi-Wan Kenobi, he said, I'm really excited about it, maybe more so than the other films. That's an interesting comment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it had to do more with, like, where he is at a personal level. He said, maybe more so than the other films because I'm older, I just turned 50, and I'm just in a much better place. So I don't know, maybe for some personal reasons, but he's legitimately excited about getting back into the shoes of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very curious to see where that series goes, man. I'm guessing because this series takes place before all these other series that we're in the middle of right now.
Yeah.
Like the Mandalorian show, the Book of Boba Fett, the Ahsoka Tano show that's going to be coming along. I'm guessing that this show is going to be used to introduce a slew of new characters
mm-hmm.
that we could then possibly see their present versions of.
Yeah.
You know, their future versions of in these shows. Because otherwise, I don't know, man. It just seems kind of odd if this is just going to be kind of like a standalone thing that has no impact on any of these current shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they would do that. Pretty sure that they would want to tie this together. Also, it's being directed by Deborah Chow. Deborah Chow was one of the directors from The Mandalorian, the two seasons of The Mandalorian.
Oh.
So, yeah, you got to imagine that there's some interest to connect everything. So, we'll see. But I'm definitely excited. Obi-Wan Kenobi, debuting on May 25th. Last story before we take a break. Ray Stevenson, speaking about Star Wars Disney Plus corner of the world, Ray Stevenson is joining the cast of the Ahsoka Tano show.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to play an admiral?
Yeah, it was said that they haven't given many details, but it says that he's going to play an admiral, like an imperial admiral. Mm. And he's going to be obviously a villainous character.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about Ray Stevenson, and this guy, by the way, I don't know if you would recognize him. He's the one that was like the big dude from Thor's crew in the MCU. Who got just, like, gratuitously killed by Hela and
Thor. Yeah, I think I remember him.
Yeah, he's the big dude. He was actually, like, kind of, like, overweight always. Mm. So he played that. He also played the Punisher in the Punisher
movie?
Not sequel, but remake movie.
Okay.
It was like a much more brutal version of the Punisher.
As if Punisher isn't brutal enough.
Well, it was much more brutal than the first one, than the first Punisher movie. Mm. But the John Berthal's Netflix series Punisher did away with all that because it was way more brutal. But anyway, in addition to that, he voiced a character, a Star Wars character in the Rebel series. Yeah, dude, this dude was awesome. So he was an Imperial, something Imperial guard. So there were these guards that... Remember that during the Star Wars cartoon shows, mm-hmm. Mandalore was a big focus of it.
Yeah.
And he voiced this character, Gar Saxon. He was basically the leader of this group of, like, Imperial troopers who were planted in Mandalore to be, like, the official mm-hmm. Mandalore guard.
Dang, those guys' armor looks dope.
Yeah, they look super cool, man.
Dang!
Yeah. And so they wore like Mandalorian looking armor.
Especially Gar Saxon's armor. Like yeah. with those horns.
For sure, yeah. So he was a really cool character, really cool like villain character in the Rebel series. But he got killed, unfortunately. I think it was by Sabine Wren, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. So he died, and this can't be the character, of course, that he's playing.
Yeah.
So, and plus it was said that he was going to be an admiral. So, the most likely candidate is that he's going to be possibly playing this character called Gilead Pallion.
Gilead Pallion?
Yeah. Now, this is a human character from the Star Wars Legends books.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a guy who was like the second, the right-hand man to Admiral Thrawn, who was introduced as Star Admiral Wars Thrawn? Rebels. Yeah. So it's very likely that because the Ahsoka show is going to be involving Admiral Thrawn, like they name dropped him in the Mandalorian season 2 in the Ahsoka episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it was revealed that he's still alive, which leads us to believe that
Admiral Thrawn is still alive.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to believe then that Ezra Bridger's still alive, and if this guy Ray Stevenson does play Gilead Pallion, then that means that. This all kind of like connecting, right? Like he might mm-hmm. be searching for Admiral Thrawn in the same way that Ahsoka's searching for Ezra Bridger. So yeah, he's very loyal to the Empire, totally loyal to Admiral Thrawn. And Dave Filoni did confirm in an interview that that character was around in that world that he created in Rebels.
Gilead Pallion?
Yeah. So it's most likely who he'll end up playing, and he will be really good. Ray Stevenson is like, he's a really tall dude, and he has like a very deep voice, and he's like very imposing.
Mm-hmm.
He would make a very good villain for that Star Wars show, for that Ahsoka show. All right, we told you there was a lot of news. That was a lot of news. That was like 40 minutes worth of news.
40 minutes worth of news. Yeah. That's like an episode where we could have done like a whole
topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not even all of it. We still got three trailers that we want to give you a reaction to.
Yes.
And then we want to give our thoughts on the Book of Boba Fett season finale.
The Book and what of we thought about Boba the series Mando.
That whole thing, yeah.
Book of Boba Mando.
Book of Boba Riding the Rancor. That's what it should have been called.
Book of Boba Mando Cobb Vanth.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Man, buddy.
What?
Aren't you completely tired of audiobooks?
Absolutely not.
Really?
No, no way.
But you've heard like, I don't know, what, like 20 audiobooks or something at this point?
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If an audiobook is good to me, then I will keep on re-listening to it.
You're trying to tell me that your audiobook collection is probably going to end up being like 200 deep like me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not tired of it either, because audiobooks are incredible and they keep me company and they teach me and they entertain me and they make me laugh and a whole bunch of other stuff. What are you listening to recently?
I am listening to a book called Hello Neighbor Puzzle Master by Carly Ann West.
Man, you just keep on getting into the Hello Neighbor world, huh?
Yeah. What are you listening to?
Well, right now I'm listening to this book by Alan Watts. I love Alan Watts and I love listening to his audiobooks. It's called Just So. But I've got a couple of other books lined up that I'm really, really looking forward to. There's this book by Neil Gaiman, who is a pretty famous comic book writer, called Norse Mythology. And it's where he's taking like all the characters in the lore of Norse mythology and like giving it a new spin somehow. I'm going to get into that soon. And then most excited about Alien 3, a book that is based on the original script of the Alien 3 movie that never actually got fully made. Mm-hmm. So really looking forward to that. You too could enjoy your very first Audible book for free. You can do so by going over to audibletrial.com/G101. That's audibletrial.com/G101. Your first audiobook will be on us. You'll be supporting the show, and we will love you
forever.
You're supposed to say 3,000.
And we will love you 3,000 times forever.
What a fake fan.
Okay.
Let's just move on.
And we're back.
And we got a few trailers that have dropped and that we're ready to chat about.
Yes.
Let's first talk about the Sonic trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So we had seen Sonic the Hedgehog trailer. 2 trailer. Yeah. We'd seen it come out. They introduced Knuckles, the whole deal. I personally think that the second trailer was kind of cooler.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the trailer that they're using in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So what do you think overall? Based off of this trailer, what's your excitement level for the movie? How do you feel about Knuckles? I mean, you had a problem with like Idris Elba's voice coming out of Knuckles' mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you feeling?
Dr. Eggman.
Yes.
He looks like Dr. Eggman.
He does.
And we saw in the trailer he has this ginormous robot.
He does.
And that robot is Dr. Eggman, like video game style.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that, didn't a robot like that show up in one of the Sonic games?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I remember seeing something like that for sure. Like a gigantic robot and you had to like hit some key spots on it and it shot all sorts of missiles and creatures at you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. Knuckles, I think, continues to be cool to me. I like personally Idris Elba's voice.
I mean, Knuckles has always had, like, a Brooklyn, New Yorker accent. And they just changed that.
When did he have a Brooklyn accent?
He had that in, like, one of the games that I played, Sonic Forces.
The games?
In at least some of them.
Really?
Yeah. In at least Sonic Forces.
Okay.
He had that type of voice. And
Like Raphael, like that?
Yeah. In Sonic Boom, the show, and in Sonic Dash, Sonic Boom the video game.
Interesting. I never
That's how I always picture him.
Yeah, I never remember hearing him with a Brooklyn accent. I don't know. I'm fine either way, to be honest. But I just like Idris Elba's voice coming out of him. I think it's kinda cool. Overall, what's your excitement level for the movie?
Pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know if you know, but do you know the Chaos Emeralds from Sonic? Like the...
I can't remember what they do. What do they do?
But do you know what they are? Like,
sure, I remember hearing them mention and stuff, yeah.
The Chaos Emeralds, do you know what Super Sonic is, where Sonic goes, like, yellow?
Yes.
So basically, if Sonic collects all of the Chaos Emeralds, then he goes supersonic.
Oh, okay, I see.
And in Sonic 2, mm-hmm. the trailer, you can see Dr. Eggman mm-hmm. being like, "I found the source of all power," and then he's like looking at the Chaos Emerald.
Ah, that's what he's talking about.
And I think it would be really cool to see a supersonic live action Sonic.
That would be cool, yeah. Sound like going Super Saiyan in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of cool. I love it, man. I mean, I think I underestimated the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect it to be as good as it was.
And it was good.
It was, yeah. You can actually search the episode that that we recorded. Like it was kind of like a ride-along before we had a ride-along mm-hmm. idea.
It was one of our like newest episodes. I think it was like episode 17 or something.
Was it that far back?
Yeah.
The first Sonic movie?
Mm-hmm. Like, no, episode 17.
Really?
Of, like, maybe not episode 17, but, like, it was, like, pretty far back.
Huh. Okay. But anyway, yeah, we recorded that episode. Look for it in our feed. But we were both like pleasantly surprised with how good the movie was. And I have kind of similar vibes that I got, you know, back then. So I'm assuming that this is going to be a good follow-up to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it was pretty cool. The next trailer that dropped was this little sizzle reel type of teaser trailer for all the DC 2022 films.
And I've got to say, there are some dope designs in this.
Yes, there are. So we already got our tickets to the IMAX pre-screening.
IMAX?
Yeah, IMAX. Pre-screening of The Batman. We're going to get to see it several days before the actual premiere. Yeah, like
3 days before it comes out.
Yeah, in IMAX screen. So that's going to be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I've already been excited for that movie. Like, mm-hmm. I've been excited. No one had to sell me on it.
I mean, come on. It's not Batman. It's the Batman.
It's the.
It's
with a capital T.
It's the Batman.
Thanksgiving.
The Batman.
And so aside from that, of course, another one that I was already very excited for was the Flash movie. Mm-hmm. Flash, you know, traveling through the multiverse and stuff, seeing at least one alternate version of himself, seeing Supergirl introduced, meeting Michael Keaton's Batman from 1989. Yeah.
I really hope that they put in the joke of like him not being able to move his neck. They're definitely going to do that. It's like the bat suit.
Yeah. And then, of course, Ben Affleck's Batman is supposed to be appearing in that movie as well. And who knows who else? Like, they could go crazy with how many people they bring to us in that movie. And I was already excited for it. This one, this new, we got a couple of new images in this teaser trailer that show, like, a little bit more of Flash's suit. Looks awesome. Mm-hmm. He has the little glass things that come down. Yeah,
yellow goggles that come down. That would be really helpful.
I know, yeah, because, you would
like,
imagine.
If you're running, you would get a lot of air to the eyes. You would like have to breathe.
Or like a gnat. You imagine a gnat hitting you at super speed?
Oh, you could get like
they're annoying
bugs
at regular speed.
Yeah, you could get like bugs hitting your face.
Just inserting themselves into your like eyeball.
Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm glad he got the little glass things. But so that was obviously one that I'm excited for. What do you think about Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom? How do you feel about that?
I think that the new suit, like the kind of blackish suit,
yeah,
looks. I've never liked Jason Momoa Aquaman. No, I mean, I love Jason Momoa Aquaman.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, man.
Yeah. I've never liked Jason Momoa Aquaman with the classic orange and red.
Yeah, you're on your own there, man. I love that.
It just looks so goofy and gimmicky.
Oh, come on. Dude, this guy made that classic Aquaman suit look badass. Like,
it just looks so goofy.
Oh, my God. You know what? Agree to disagree. I can't believe you.
But I
definitely don't agree with you.
But
no way.
I love the new black suit. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be like a suit that he wears like temporarily in that movie for like a stealth mission or something. Mm-hmm. But it looks cool. I could watch a whole movie with him kind of like, you know, decked out in black. Mm-hmm. It's like the space gray Aquaman.
Yeah.
I know nothing really about the film, aside from the fact that, like, Ocean Master is supposed to be, you know, he's supposed to come back. I imagine that he's going to provide some intel, Loki-style, to Aquaman and...
Wait, really? Ocean Master?
Yeah. They're going to, like, release him, I guess, from prison to... Yeah, there's, like, some scenes in the Aquaman, in the trailer from Fandom that showed him kind of, like, out and about. Mm. I'm guessing that Black Manta is going to go all out, you know, to try to, like, get revenge on Aquaman.
Yes.
Here's one thing, though. I, like, the first Aquaman movie to me was awesome, but it did have a lot going on. And so, like, the Black Manta storyline felt kind of like a B story. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they don't do the same thing to the character in this movie also, because I feel like Black Manta deserves to have a standalone film against Aquaman where, like, he is the main antagonist, you know?
Where Aquaman is the main antagonist? I feel like...
No, I don't mean, like, a standalone, like, Black Manta movie. Although, why not? But
I mean, I feel like that would work out because there are, like, a lot of, like, video games where it's, like, a spinoff where you're playing as one of the villains. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you get to see how the villains see the good guys, quote-unquote good guys, as villains. Like, in Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you're playing as a Imperial...
Right, a captain or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, you know, look at Thanos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or look at Killmonger.
Yeah.
You know, good examples of the of villains that have, even like Kingpin in the Daredevil series.
Really?
Yeah, these are guys who legitimately feel or legitimately see themselves as having a good cause. And they feel like the hero in the story is trying to get in the way of them helping out the city or the world or their kingdom or whatever somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, well, I don't know if that could apply for Black Manta, because Black Manta is a straight up sea pirate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe not. All right. And then, of course, I think the highlight of this teaser from DC was
the showcasing of the
Black Adam characters.
Mm-hmm.
That was freaking cool, man.
Yes.
So we had already seen some imagery and some scenes, actually, from the Black Adam movie, The Rock in full Black Adam gear, and but, I mean, just looking incredible.
But we actually saw him, like, dope this time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so freaking cool.
Can you really argue? He's just, it's about drive, it's about power, we stay hungry, we devour. It's just The Rock being dope as Black Adam.
Yes, but also, like, let's give credit to the story, right? This is going to be telling a pretty interesting story in the sense that it's going to take place in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think several layers of the past, because it's taking place in Black Adam has his origin like all the way back in ancient Egypt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly there's going to be some story there. I'm not too familiar with the Black Adam story from DC, but there's going to be something dealing with his son. Apparently his son saved him, and he feels like it's for this purpose, whatever. This guy gets these Shazam type powers, and then it's going to take place further in the future, but still in our past.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Justice Society of America, mm-hmm. although I'm not sure if they're going to do the of America thing, they might just be the Justice Society. But the Justice Society is operating. It's made up of like Dr. Fate and the Atom Smasher and Hawkman.
Captain Falcon.
Yeah. Hawkman and this other character who, for the life of me, I can't remember her name. But yeah. He's going to try to play nice with these heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing with Black Adam. The Black Adam is actually, he's kind of an anti-hero. He doesn't always act as a villain. So it's going to be interesting to see him kind of like, you know, rubbing elbows with these people. And this was, I think, the highlight of this whole trailer. Getting to see Dr. Fate and Hawkman and the Atom Smasher. Like, they looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really impressively awesome.
Atom Smasher, like, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I just don't. His suit just looks like a typical superhero suit.
Whatever, but he has the ability to turn big, and they look really good. Like, the special effects of him running through the city and all that stuff.
Ant-Man.
He had, like, a weight to him. Yeah, it's kind of like Giant Man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then, Dr. Fate. Come on, bro.
Dr. Fate looks
Dr. Fate looks incredible. Like, we talked in a previous episode about how we were hoping that they didn't get that character wrong.
Because,
like, how could you get him wrong? He already looks pretty cool in the comics and the cartoons.
But
like,
they
just
made
do
him
that.
Look even doper.
They did.
They gave him, like, a full blue and gold outfit. Like,
yo.
Gold bracer gauntlets.
Mm-hmm.
A blue kind of, like,
The details look amazing. The details on like the gloves and all that.
And
the
helmet
is more stylized.
Mm-hmm. It's also like a full head helmet.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing for him to see out.
Right, no eye holes or anything.
Because the original one does have eye holes, but like it's just like covering kind of like the how am I forgetting his name? The original Red Hood Joker.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that, like there's nothing for him to really see out of.
Right.
But, like,
yeah.
You know that he sees stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked amazing, man. Like, seriously, if this is really a hint of what he looks like on screen, then that to me is immediately like one of the coolest looking hero outfits in live action. Period.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. And then Pierce Brosnan as, you know, like the human side of Dr. Fate.
Oh, that's Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he looked super cool, man. He looked like, you know, nice, clean cut, very well, you know, like well done up and stuff like that, holding the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And like in his human form, he's kind of like just not, there's nothing special about him. It's really when he puts on that helmet that he becomes Dr. Fate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really cool seeing him like giving a performance. Like it was, you get those cues because Pierce Brosnan is a good actor. So
James Bond.
It's going to be pretty cool, man. That's going to be nice to see. And Hawkman, bro, come on.
If you haven't seen this already, just look up Black Adam teaser Hawkman.
Wow.
He looks so dope, especially that clip of him extending the wings.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like really, like you said before, like a battle armor.
It really does, man. Look, Hawkman is one of those characters, man, that they pull him off in the comics, but then when you really pay attention to it, it's like, it's kind of goofy looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you imagine it brought to live action and very easily it can look extremely goofy. And mm-hmm. But this looks incredible. It looks like the wings, first off, the wings are nothing compared to the wings that we see in like the comics and stuff. Like
they are huge.
Yeah, they're massive wings and they are armored. They look like they're ready for battle. And then they pulled off the helmet looking like some sort of, you know, battle medieval type of crazy helmet.
Mm-hmm.
The armor looks awesome. It's kind of like a bronze-like color. It's not exactly gold.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, it just looks awesome, man. So that is going to be, I think, maybe they're, who knows, I'm not sure of the actor. I forget who it is, but it'll be interesting to see if he gives that character kind of like the same treatment that Jason Momoa gave Aquaman, you know, like making a character that everybody made fun of,
mm-hmm.
you know, like making him look legit.
Yeah.
We'll see. But it looks really, really cool. And then there's another character, which for the life of me, I can't remember her name, but I'm not sure where her power set is. They showed her in the trailer, nothing really special or anything that stood out, but these other characters look incredible.
Oh, now I can see Adam Smasher. Adam Smasher, not really that much special about his outfit.
It wasn't the outfit that made it look cool. It was like him moving through that city.
Because
mm-hmm. You could very easily get that wrong. You know, like mm-hmm. the size, the scale, the weight of those characters who become giant.
Mm-hmm.
You could get that wrong pretty easily. But I feel like it looked very like almost natural in a way, the way that he was moving.
Yeah.
It looked good. They did a really nice job with the effects.
They did change his suit though. His suit originally had no sleeves.
Okay.
And like, it wasn't like, it had a lighter color in tone. Mm-hmm. But now it has like more of a blacker blue, a much darker blue.
Okay.
And it's like, it's a full body suit.
Mm-hmm.
Because originally it wasn't. Originally it was just like a vest.
Right.
And yeah, it looks dope.
That's cool. Yeah, it's going to be really cool to see. Like, it really does seem like they're taking this whole Black Adam thing seriously, DC and Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like a movie that's going to have, like, a good story, feels like. And The Rock is definitely taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is not in, like, Jungle Cruise mode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This movie is all about drive. It is all about power.
Oh, my God.
No, but seriously, like, this he's taking guy. This seriously.
He is, yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens and, of course, how this continues, right? Because, of course, it's going to continue. And ultimately, what we're looking for is, like, Black Adam versus Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we got Shazam 2 coming up, so, wow.
I so still much. Don't get how Black Adam's powers work.
Same way as Shazam.
But like,
he literally says Shazam to get his powers too.
Yeah, I know, but he looks the same before and after he says Shazam.
He looks smaller.
Before he says Shazam?
Oh, well, at least in the comics he does, yeah. He looks like kind of like skinny and stuff before he says Shazam. Mm. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to be in the movie. We'll have to wait and see. That'd be funny if they made like a skinny version of The Rock, no muscles.
Just like a regular person.
Yeah. Did you ever see that commercial? I think it was like a Super Bowl commercial last year or the year before.
Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. You know
like
which one?
Taking off his muscles.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like they can make the Rock.
That was
all skinny.
So weird.
It was so freaking weird, man. But that's kind of what I'm envisioning. Like the Rock just minimized, no muscles. That'd be hilarious. All right, so you ready to get into the Book of Boba Fett and our thoughts on the finale and the series as a whole?
No, I am not. Perfect way to get into it. Because there is one more trailer.
Is there?
Yes.
Yes, there is.
The Adam Project.
The Adam Project.
What is the Adam Project, you were probably asking yourself?
Listen, I'll be honest. Like, I've seen this project, I've seen this trailer floating around on YouTube this whole week. And I'm like, it said Netflix. I was like, whatever, I'm not, you know, I'll check it out later. And that's been my mode. I'll check it out later. But then eventually when we were up there looking, prepping for this episode, I was like, you know what? Let me just watch it. Dude, looks like a solid movie.
Absolutely.
Whoa. So like,
looks like a pretty interesting plot too.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it, pause this episode and go to YouTube and look for the Adam Project. Check it out. It's essentially, we're not saying anything that's not on the trailer.
By the way, it's not A-T-O-M, it's A-D-A-M.
Yeah, like the name, Adam. Mm-hmm. And so, basically, it's like a kid being visited by an older version of himself from the future. And clearly, there's like some crazy battle that takes place in the past when his future self is visiting. But the cool thing is, like, first of all, Ryan Reynolds, you know, fresh off of Free Guy, which was, again, like amazing. A surprise awesome movie.
It had so many, like, little teasers to, like, video games, movies, like Captain America shield, Fortnite pickaxe, a portal gun.
But more importantly, like, the writing in the movie was actually really good. Like, Free Guy we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And he was, I don't know, like, Ryan Reynolds just brought, like, this heart to the character, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it feels like more of that. And this movie, The Adam Project, is actually made by the same producers of Free Guy. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe they're, you know, bringing a similar energy to it because it just seems, somehow like heartwarming, this movie. Mm-hmm. And like the conversation between the future and past selves, like the kid and adult self of this kid, Adam.
Wait, what's a G?
What?
That one scene where he was like, don't get knocked out by the G's. And then young Adam was like, wait, what's a G? And then like the jet took off.
Yeah. And most importantly, as the YouTube comments will show you, this is of course the first time that we're seeing the Hulk and Deadpool on screen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
because
this is really
cool. Mark Ruffalo is actually in this movie.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo plays the father of this kid. Mm-hmm. And the mother is played by Jennifer Gardner. Now, for those of us who like 13 going on 30, going back in the day here, Jennifer Gardner and Mark Ruffalo played this love interest in each other's lives during that movie. And to me, they became one of like the sweetest couples on screen. So it was really cool to see them as the mom and dad of this kid, Adam, in this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought that was super sweet.
Do you think they did that purposely?
You gotta think they did, man. Come on. Like, obviously they had to know that they had this past between them. So I just thought that was really sweet. But yeah, Mark Ruffalo's playing the dad, and it seems like he has kind of like an active role somehow. Mm-hmm. And it seems like his dad is some sort of scientist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he seems to know like something of what's going on.
You know, I think like the Adam Project, I have to assume that that's his kid's name. Maybe it was like a project to send sent his son into the future, but then this is like an alternate universe where he didn't do that. But then the son that he sent into the future, it had been like years from then, and then he came back, but it was like this other.
Are you seriously trying to like come and figure out the movie before the movie comes out?
Absolutely.
Look at this guy. Anyway, there's something that looks like lightsabers in this movie.
Absolutely.
It's lightsaber-ish.
There are these like dope Darth Maul lightsabers.
Yeah.
They're basically like a bow staff, but like electrical. And then there's like these dope disintegrating guns. Mm-hmm.
Who was the girl that seemed like a love interest to future Adam? Was that the actress who plays Gamora? I forget her name. How am I forgetting her name?
There was a girl who seemed like a love interest to Future Adam?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, man. It was... who plays Gamora in the MCU?
I don't know her name.
This guy.
Dookies.
Please hold. Yeah, Zoe Saldana.
Okay.
That is her, yeah. Yeah, so Zoe Saldana is in this, and it seems like she's like a partner, maybe love interest, but also like a partner in whatever organization it is that Future Adam belongs to. And she was like kicking butt right along with him. He was using that lightsaber-ish thing. And
this reminds me of something.
She was like disintegrating dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Mandalorian style.
This reminds me of something.
What's that?
I mean, basically the only difference is hair color. I mean...
Only difference in what?
A young child meeting his future self for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And then, but then, like, the future self is part of, like, an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Trunks. Future Trunks.
Oh. You know, actually, I got those vibes at the beginning, too.
Yeah.
When he revealed that it was time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I thought about Trunks, too. But anyway, yeah, kind of a surprise how good this thing was, the trailer. And I'm looking forward to checking that out. I think we will be checking that out together on Netflix whenever it comes out. Did you see when it comes out? I didn't catch that.
I didn't.
Look it up, people. Don't be lazy. All right. The Book of Boba Fett has come to a season finale. Mm-hmm. And they did say season finale. So it seems like this thing isn't meant to be like a standalone series, like a one season series.
Yeah.
The entire thing was composed of, what was it, 7 episodes?
I believe so.
Yeah, 7 episodes. And, we saw the first few episodes that were very Boba Fett heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They showed us how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. They showed us the time that he was spending with the, Tusken Raiders. Yeah. They showed us his attempt to consolidate his power within Tatooine, specifically ruling from Mos Espa, where Jabba the Hutt's palace was. They showed us him dealing with the people of Mos Espa, the Mod Gang, etc.
I feel like the Filoniverse has got us saying sand people more than Tusken Raiders. Because, I mean, like, Mando... And Cobb Vanth, at least for me, Mando and Cobb Vanth, they were calling the Tusken Raiders the Sand People. Mm-hmm. And like now, I kind of forgot that their name was Tusken Raiders.
Wait, isn't it the other way around? Haven't they like been trying to normalize Tusken Raiders more? Yeah, in the Book of Boba Fett, that's what Boba was calling them, the Tuskens.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But Mandalorian got me saying Sand People.
Well, I think that Sand People is almost like a derogatory term. Because really think about it, it sounds a little offensive, doesn't it?
Kind of does, actually.
Like you're a sand person. That sounds a little bit like you're unknown, you're weird, you live out there in the desert, therefore I'm calling you a sand person.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like a Tusken, you know, that feels more like a species name. Or race or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, the whole series was really leading us, showing us a bit of the past every episode while he went into the Bacta tank. And then at the same time in the present, showing us him trying to consolidate power, dealing with the families who controlled Mos Espa and Tatooine. And then suddenly we get this crazy break where in episode, what was it, episode 5?
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially a Mandalorian episode.
Yeah, Mandalorian episode.
Like, there's no argument there. It was absolutely a Mandalorian episode.
We only saw Fennec Shand, and we saw absolutely nothing of
Boba Fett.
Yeah, Boba Fett.
Yeah, or anything else related to Boba Fett. Like, it was all about Mando. It was amazing, the episode. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it moved forward the Mandalorian character in a pretty significant way.
Mm-hmm. He got... taken out from the
from the Creed.
Mandalorians,
right? So all that happened in this episode, and then we were figuring, okay, next episode we go back to form and visit back with Boba Fett, but nope, it ended up being a lot more Mando again.
Mm-hmm.
Enough so that we ended up seeing Luke Skywalker, Ahsoka Tano, Baby Grogu, and like R2-D2. Like, it was like crazy. Still very little Boba Fett.
I love how everyone's saying Baby Grogu. Yeah. As if there's another version of Grogu that is not a baby.
Well, he's bound to grow up eventually, so I'm holding on to the baby version of him as long as I can.
Little baby Grogu.
I refuse to let go of Baby Yoda, okay?
He's little baby Grogu.
Yes, he is. And then it's towards the end of the episode that we finally see Mando kind of decide, okay, I'm going to give Grogu his space.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and visits Cobb Vanth from the Mando show. Tries to recruit him over to help Boba Fett. And this is finally around the time where you see Boba Fett again for the first time in a while. And they're prepping. And they're prepping for this war against
the Pike Syndicate,
who runs smuggle spice through Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
And
so Boba Fett helped the Tusken Raiders defeat this like big armored train of the Pike Syndicate people.
Yeah, so there's a beef that's been brewing between Boba Fett and the Pike Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, losing the ability to run spice through Tatooine means a lot of money lost for the Pike Syndicate. There's a guy in Mos Eisley who stationed there. He's kind of like the head of the Pike Syndicate there on Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to make a deal with Boba Fett, or Boba Fett tried to make a deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, things didn't work out. So everything was brewing, to the point where now there's a threat of war, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what leads into the final episode, where it's basically Boba Fett with his crew, which now includes the Mod Gang.
Mm-hmm. Kersantan.
Mandalorian, Kersantan, looking all dope.
And Rancor.
The Rancor and the two pig dudes. Forget their names.
They died.
They did. by the way, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the season finale of The Book of Boba Fett, and you're planning to do so, please turn away now. Come back to this episode after you do, because we're going to be speaking completely freely, and it will include spoilers. Spoiler alert! You have been warned. Spoiler alert for The Book of Boba Fett season finale. All right, so the war begins basically with a visit from Cad Bane.
Cad Bane. That one guy that you kept on calling him Cade Bane.
Listen, it's a close thing, okay? I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Look, there's no E at the end of Cad. Right,
fine. It's Cad Bane. Jesus. Anyway, Cad Bane was one of the coolest antagonist characters from the Clone Wars series. This is his jump from animation to live action. I think it was perfect, even though Joshua keeps on sending me some video of some dude who did like a reconstruction
of his making face. Him
look closer to the cartoon. I didn't need that. I don't need that. I think he looks fine just the way he is, man. They made a really cool transition to live action. And he visits Boba Fett to basically tell him, like, you know, you need to get out of town or whatever. Did I do it? No, that was a terrible Cad Bane voice.
Hey, Zachary Levi, you still a runt?
Oh, wow. Wow. Zachary Levi.
It's an inside joke.
Yeah. No, actually, it was from one of the episodes. That so is you'd true. Be on the inside of this joke if you listened to all our episodes. But anyway, he tries to like tell Boba Fett, like, all right, get off the Pike Syndicate's back. Boba Fett is like, no, you know. Go bane yourself. And then he basically tells him that the only person he's dealing with is the person who's in charge of the Pike Syndicate. Like somebody who can make decisions or whatever.
I don't know why, but there was this one scene that was really satisfying where like Cad Bane, I mean, Cobb Vanth, he shot up these Pike dudes. And then he let this other guy run away.
Oh, yeah, the opening of the previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it was just so satisfying when he opened that spice container and then just let it all fly out. Yeah. I don't know why that was so satisfying.
That was. You know, Cobb Vanth is a pretty cool character, man. There's some people out there in the interwebs speculating if he might get a standalone series or something.
That would be dope.
I mean, he's going for his own brand. You know, he rebranded Mos whatever.
As Freetown.
Like hashtag Freetown. It's a very catchy name. Freetown.
Free guy.
Yeah. Oh, free guy. It's all connected. but yeah, so when the people from the Pike Syndicate come around, Boba Fett basically like plays a joke on him by sending the Twi'lek dude to go and like negotiate his surrender. But in reality, the terms are all like, get out of here, get out of town. I'm not giving up, whatever. And then what ends up happening is that the fight breaks out, right? So they like Boba Fett strategically positions his people in different parts of Tatooine to try to like see from where it is that they're gonna come out. Mm-hmm. And then he would like consolidate everybody to fight wherever it is that they're attacking from.
I feel like in Star Wars, they make an entire planet seem like just
like a city, right?
A city.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like you can just travel to like any planet that you want.
Right. Mind you, with Tatooine, that's a little bit easier because Tatooine is a desert planet. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see how there would be like much smaller sectors because it's a desert. It's not prone to like a lot of life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But for sure, that's a case with like other places like Coruscant, for example. Mm-hmm. Coruscant, which was where the capital of the Republic was, was a whole planet.
Yeah.
So like, whatever they're like, yeah, I'm gonna head over to Coruscant. You would just kind of like imagine in your head as like this city, when in reality it's a, like an Earth-sized planet, and you could imagine that there's tons of countries in there and cities and stuff. So you gotta imagine like how much time could you spend in each one of these places? Like in the Clone Wars series, that's why that series was so cool, because it took its time slowly kind of like exploring different planets.
Coruscant is just like a crowded place.
It really is.
I feel like it's kind of like...
It's like a New York type city, but like in the whole planet.
Futuristic. I don't know why, but it's just so cool how there's like these like towering like towers, and then there's just these like flying cars everywhere, like speed bikes going through. It's just so cool to me.
It is, yeah. And in the Ahsoka Tano episodes of the last season of Star Wars Clone Wars, you got to explore the lower levels of Coruscant. Remember that? Where she's like, where it's like really sketchy, like the bad part of the city or the planet or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really cool. Like there, that's why there are so many corners of this whole galaxy to explore that I feel are great to explore in these Disney Plus shows, because they can go slowly. You know, they can take their time. And especially if these shows do continue exploring like the more like the underworld of the galaxy, or the under galaxy, if you will, I think that they could like take place in just one planet, like kind of like how Boba Fett is. The Book of Boba Fett took place on Tatooine only, pretty much.
And basically only in one city for the most part of it.
Right. But it took its time with showing the different cities, right? That it introduces to the fact that there's different families of crime families that run the different cities. So it introduces to like the power setup within there. It showed us some of the citizens. It showed us like a more variety, right? Like these mod people. I feel like the mod gang to me is, they still don't fit, really, to me.
I feel like that's like kind of the point.
It is. Exactly. Exactly that. Like you, unless you were looking at a scenario like the Book of Boba Fett, which is closely exploring one planet, you wouldn't get to the point of like seeing the mod gang. You wouldn't get to the point of seeing the speeder gang that Boba Fett caught beef with while he was with the Tusken Raiders.
Like, yeah.
You don't have time for that, because you're like dealing with galaxy level threats. So it's like, let's speed travel to this planet and to that solar system and whatever. So yeah, I appreciate that about this series. Anyway, so then the war breaks out and it's basically a battle. We got to see a really cool fight, like where Mando and Boba Fett are like fighting a whole bunch of dudes. That's awesome.
Still, though, I don't think that it can rival the last battle in Mandalorian.
Season what, 2?
I forget. But where the one where Mando, I'm pretty sure a lot of people remember this, the one where Mando just walks out of the door of a shop and then he's just pew to two sides of him and then he gets two people at the same time.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
The one where little baby Grogu force pushes a flamethrower back to the guy who was flamethrowing him.
Yes.
That was a dope battle.
It was, yeah. That's where they escape and like the droid sacrifices himself in the lava.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was sad. But yeah, that was an awesome fight for sure. But yeah, this was a crazy battle. They fought in different areas, and then the Pike Syndicate apparently threw all their money into buying these really heavy duty droids. And they kind of look like droid Deckas from the Clone Wars, but bigger, much heavier guns, and like clearly stronger shields.
Yeah.
Mando couldn't even break through it with the Darksaber. No firepower was entering these shields. So these things were basically like tanks on legs, just walking around wrecking all of the city.
And here's what I don't understand, though.
Yeah.
If nothing could get in, like if no gunshots or anything could get in, no laser blasts, how did the droid shooting get out?
I don't know, man. That's sci-fi science for you. Okay. Clearly, the shields are designed in such a way that it only things can go out, but nothing can get in. I mean, do I need to sit here and explain to you how make-believe works?
Oh, then technically, the droid could abandon the shield and then walk out of the shield.
I'm not sure about that. The shield generator is within the droid.
Maybe that's not how it works.
Are you really having a tough time suspending your disbelief here?
Yeah, anyways.
You're the child in this scenario. You should have a much easier time letting go of something like that. But you're just you're a complicated man, aren't you? You're a complicated dude.
I guess I am.
So anyway, yeah, what ends up happening is that Boba Fett rides a Rancor, which we got teased in, episode 3 or 4?
Mm-hmm.
And he straight up showed up riding that Rancor.
Because everybody knows, if you're not a Star Wars fan, that Rancors are emotionally complex creatures.
They are very emotionally complex, and apparently they don't like fire.
They do not.
Yeah, because this Rancor was like wrecking everybody left and right, and it wrecked the droids.
Mm-hmm. I still don't get why Boba Fett wasn't using his blaster.
Yeah,
he could have used his blaster.
But then again, wouldn't you be holding on for dear life with both hands while you were riding a Rancor?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, like this isn't a horse where the horse stays horizontal the entire time that it's riding. Like this
it goes thing is, like vertical, upside down.
Yeah, pretty sure you're gonna want to hold on with all you got. But then along comes Cad Bane, and dude just throws on a flamethrower, freaks the Rancor out. And then the Rancor goes, like, on a berserker rage spree.
And then Baby Yoda puts him to sleep.
And then Baby... That was adorable.
And then he sleeps next to the Rancor.
Dude, Baby Grogu straight up walks up to this guy with his little steps does. Then he puts up his little paw. And then he puts the Rancor to sleep. And then he goes and cuddles up next to it and falls asleep next to it. It's like, these guys knew that, yeah, this is supposed to be Boba Fett's show,
but like no but one really cares. We need a little
baby Grogu in there.
Yes.
And so not only did they bring baby Grogu in this thing, but they had him put on his little chainmail Beskar shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a ride all by his little self in that X-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Like R2-D2. Chaperoned by R2-D2.
Yeah.
But he took a really long trip. And listen, I relate to baby Grogu. Because when I was a child, when I was little baby Diego, I took many trips by myself in an airplane. And I wasn't put at the care of an R2 unit, but I was put at the care of a stewardess. And they would always take very good care of me. And they always gave me my blankies. And they always gave me my pillies.
In your pillie?
And they always brought some yummy snacks and food to me.
Some yummy snacks and food.
And I took very long journeys like baby Grogu. But I didn't have a Beskar chainmail shirt. That's all I needed. I just wanted my chainmail shirt.
No, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Even if, like, I feel like any type of chainmail shirt, if you got struck by, like, a sword, that would, I mean, it maybe it wouldn't cut you, but it would still hurt. Yeah, you would still feel the impact.
Yeah.
Like, that would hurt.
I'm sorry, are you questioning sci-fi physics yet again, twice in one episode?
Absolutely, but be quiet.
Dude, you need to chill. Can you just be a kid, for God's sake?
That would be like if you took a baseball bat to the stomach. Like, it wouldn't feel sharp to you, but you would still feel the impact.
Here it is, guys. An almost 10-year-old, and he's having trouble understanding the science and physics of Star Wars. My God.
I am built different.
You are clearly... No, your generation is built different and deficiently, okay? Because my generation was just like, oh, laser swords? Sure. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
We wouldn't question the tally, but how does this function? I must know so I can post on TikTok.
Yeah, we don't need
You
won't
even let me have TikTok.
Yeah, because you're a little jit.
So is Gianna.
Maybe if you stop questioning sci-fi, science, and logic, I may consider letting you have a TikTok or two.
A TikTok or two?
I don't know how TikToks work. Stop it. So anyway, back to the Boba Fett finale. Yeah, the Rancor's put to sleep, and then we get basically a couple of extra of after-credit scenes. Well, wait, one after-credit scene where we see Cobb Vanth.
In the back to tank.
Yeah.
And then the mod guy is just like peering over him like, when are you going to wake up so that I can stab you with the
with
knife?
His like magical fire slicer knife thing. With which in like a really dingy looking room, he reconstructed the entire insides of Fennec Shand. In like episode 2 or 3 of Boba Fett. Yeah, like that dude does freaking magic with that thing. I can't even start to understand. And of course, Joshua's gonna not be able to sleep tonight trying to understand the logic of how he puts people back together, modified.
Like, how does he use the laser knife to insert the robotic parts? Like, wouldn't that like burn the skin? Wouldn't that wake her up? How does it work?
You know what? Listen, no more PlayStation and no more phone for you until you figure it out. How about that? And then you can live.
Okay,
in peace.
I figured it out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How did what is the answer, son?
Basically, the answer.
You suspend your
is
disbelief.
Movie logic.
There you go, my man. Disbelief. High five.
Yay!
You discovered the secret to
I'm
being
play
a kid
Battle
again.
Front 2 later.
Amazing. So, yeah, it was an awesome episode. It really was. Like, action, crazy, Boba Fett riding a Rancor, Mando and Boba Fett fighting back-to-back against a bunch of dudes.
Cobb Vanth dying.
Cobb Vanth almost dying. Cad Bane, I got freaked out, I gotta be honest. I was like, oh my god, this was an awesome battle between Cad Bane and Boba Fett, but I want more Cad Bane, and now they killed him.
He's
but
not
then
dead.
Then you brought up...
That his heart monitor in some canon comics, we learned that he has like a heart monitor and it shows a color whenever he's alive,
right?
And if he dies, like it would just shut off. There would be no light, but the light was still on. His heart monitor was still on.
Yes. I'm happy about that because I love Cad Bane and I want to see more of this guy. And more importantly, he has kind of a connection to something that has a connection to Boba Fett. In the Star Wars... Clone Wars.
Rebels?
No, not Rebels.
Comics.
Bad Batch. Thank you.
Bad Batch.
In the Bad Batch cartoon show, which is a canon story, we see the Bad Batch eventually protect this character called Omega. Mm-hmm. And she is the only other clone of Jango Fett, aside from Boba Fett, who was not tampered with by the Empire.
And she's the only female clone.
Well, not by
that
the Empire, but by the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the only female clone, correct. So technically, you could say that is the very closest thing that Boba Fett has to a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And in the events of the Bad Batch, we saw Cad Bane. That's the very last time we had seen Cad Bane. Cad Bane was hired to try to capture her from the Bad Batch.
I feel like it would be cool if we saw like an adult Omega cross paths.
Heck
with Boba Fett.
Although, I don't know how you pull it off in live action. Like, will you put a wig on Tamora Morrison? You imagine that? If they did the Marty McFly thing?
No.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, you
his
do.
His daughter.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, God.
Tamora Morrison all like, hey, mate. Hi, mate. Good thumbs.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I don't know how they would pull that off. They could just probably cast a woman that has like similar features to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, call her Omega. I'd be okay with that. But more importantly, where does this leave off Boba Fett? And is there another season of the Book of Boba Fett? I gotta imagine that there will be.
He's gonna be the new mayor of Mos Espa.
Right, and that comes along with a whole different like dynamic. Also, we got the Hutt twins still out there. They said, "Yeah, no, here's a little gift of a Rancor as a peace offering. Sorry that we sent that guy who's standing right there to assassinate you, but we're good now. Here's a gift. Bye. We're going. Yeah, okay.
Sorry that guy literally tried to use brass knuckles with spikes on them that also electrocute people.
Right, to beat you to a pulp." The only thing that matters is that Chrysanthemum is now on Team Boba. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
Yeah, so also, sorry for sending an assassin, but also here's a little pet and that little baby Grogu will sleep next to.
Amazing. So then, you know, you got to wonder, like, a second season, what does it look like? You know, is it now a war against the Hutts? Mm-hmm. Which I think would be awesome. Is it now the repercussions of the Pike Syndicate and the hole that them not being able to do business on Tatooine leaves for the Pike Syndicate? Because maybe. That's not the Pike Syndicate. The Pike Syndicate, like, they're stationed in a separate planet. They are powerful within the underworld of Star Wars.
Perhaps. Wait, have we ever seen the Pike Syndicate before this?
Yeah, in the Clone Wars final season.
Oh.
Yeah, Ahsoka Tano kind of stepped on their toes a little bit.
Oh, so I feel like it would be cool if a couple stragglers of the Pike Syndicate from the planets and stuff, if they form like a new order of the Pike Syndicate, kind of like the Black Watch. Maybe the members of the Pike Syndicate that are left on Tatooine.
Yeah,
maybe they form like a new. Like a new group, kind of like the Black Watch did with like trying to bring back the Mandalorians and trying to like bring back the Mandalore's rule over.
I hear you, but again, like, keep in mind that this is just a little faction of the Syndicate that got affected, you know? Like, they still have their home planet, and they run things from over there. And, like, Ahsoka actually met the ruler of the Pike Syndicate, which is, like, this creature that looks kind of... has like, a bigger crest and stuff than the regular ones. Oh,
I think I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, you watched those episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, they're still out there, and that's not going to be forgotten easily. So, Boba Fett is making serious enemies, man. Mm-hmm. And you have the whole Crimson Dawn thing looming... over this whole
Crimson Dawn thing.
Yeah. Crimson Dawn was the organization that was introduced in Han Solo, the movie of Solo. Mm-hmm. And remember that it was like run by Darth Maul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? Let's leave this part of the discussion for a future episode. We're definitely going to do an episode sometime soon about what we're internally here calling the Filoniverse, which is basically this entire live-action Disney Plus TV show universe that is Star Wars canon and being created by Jon Favreau and Filoni. But it's really coming from the mind of Dave Filoni. Mm-hmm. And all these characters that this guy added onto the Star Wars lore through the Star Wars Clone Wars series, Rebels, etc., and now, of course, through The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett. All of this is connected, and it has a lot of different ties. Even shows like Kenobi and Andor and Ahsoka and all that are coming up soon. So there's a lot to talk about there. We'll record a Filoniverse episode sometime soon. But for now, what do you give the Book of Boba Fett series? Like, out of 5 stars? What rating would you give it? Really think about it. Don't just throw out a number to be nice. What do you think? I'll tell you what I think while you figure yours out. I think that this show was amazing for hardcore Star Wars fans. I think that they gave it a huge amount of fan service, but I have to imagine that for people who are not deep into Star Wars, a lot of the stuff on the show went over their heads. So that's one thought that I have. Another thought that I have is that it's awesome that we have Boba Fett back. It's awesome that they built his story. This is a very different Boba Fett. This is not the Boba Fett that we are used to seeing anywhere else in the Star Wars world. This guy has clearly gone through a lot of changes, but they gave us the backstory for why he's different. So I'm not against that.
Just say the rating, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you waiting on a star rating for me? Okay. I think I give this show probably like a 3.5 out of 5 stars.
I give it a 4.
Okay. The only reason, even though I enjoyed the heck out of the entire show, is because they really took a break from Boba Fett, the titular character.
That is true.
Yeah, and like they went and told the Mando story smack in the middle of this guy's show. While I enjoyed it, it's not exactly what I was expecting to watch in a Boba Fett show. So that's the only reason why I'm giving it 3.5 stars. If it was truly fully a Boba Fett show, I think I would think about it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, within the scope of the Filoniverse, I think the show was awesome. I love what it added to Star Wars. I love what it added to the Disney Plus shows, and I'm looking forward for more.
Yes.
Yo quiero más. And that concludes our review of The Book of Boba Fett Season 1, along with a ton of news. Thank you guys for making it all the way to the end with us. Remember, for all things Geekology 101, you can find our website at geekology101.com. There you can find info about me, about Joshua, about our story. You can find a lot of cool photos of us, as well as buying some of our merch. You can head over to the bottom of the page, fill out a contact form, and join the conversation that way, or...
if you prefer more traditional means, you can hit us up at g101podcast@gmail.com.
We will catch you guys in the next episode.
Now, you may run stuff around where you come from, but around here, I'm the one who tells folks what to do.
Pew, 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 pew.
Humanness been neutralized. Game over.
Imaginoise.